Welcome to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome. You're listening to The Alley Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio as we dig deep into this concept of authenticity. It's beautiful, and yet the truth is we all know it's much harder than it actually seems, especially in today's day and age. So stay with me for the next hour as we discuss yet one more topic, supporting you and offering actual tools, tips, and resources to educate, equip, and empower you to authentically live life your way. This is where you can come to actually transform through practical tools and real talk. So we spent the past two episodes addressing this topic of boundaries that will, quite frankly, support your walk of authenticity all along the way. And I thought we were done. I was kind of like, okay, let's move forward. And then I started to realize there were so many pieces and parts that still needed a little bit more clarification or communication. And those past two episodes were completely jam-packed with information. So if you haven't taken the time to listen to those quite yet, I would absolutely encourage you to do that. Grab your pen, grab your paper. There is a lot of information as we talked about, like all of the categories. And we know that boundaries is definitely a theme that most of us have heard something about. You can't get too far in life without knowing that boundaries are a necessary companion. We took a deep dive in understanding why boundaries are so important. Okay, they're important, but why is that? And what makes them actually somewhat kind of difficult to clarify within yourself, to set with other people, and then to actually follow through with, which is really where the rubber meets the road. And so now here we are with even more information that's important to clarify and spend a little bit more time on so that we can really make sure you've got some sense of being equipped and empowered as you travel this journey of authenticity and setting your boundaries. So information is definitely one thing. We covered a lot of information last time, but today we're going to dig a little bit deeper and put some more of this together for you. Last time, I went through all of the categories of boundaries, which quite frankly is one of the reasons why I think it's so overwhelming for people. Most people don't realize there are so many different categories when it comes to boundary setting. And so I went through those. And some examples of those, there were 12 categories that we covered during those sessions. And so the first four are what I believe most people understand to be typical boundary setting. So we've talked about physical boundaries, emotional, sexual, and verbal boundaries. We also talked about the difference between financial and material, your money versus your stuff, and those valuable commodities of time and energy, and understanding how you can set boundaries that way. And then also in terms of like your social boundaries, the way you engage socially. And then what I coined at the time in Misunderstood was distance or space boundaries. What I've actually come to identify a little bit more is what I would call connection boundaries. And then also food and spiritual. So that in and of itself is a ton of information for you to take in and start to understand the different categories of boundaries. But then also the realization that boundaries very rarely are black and white. Good or bad, right or wrong, all or none. Boundaries actually tend to be incredibly fluid. And there's a lot of nuances. There's so many pieces and parts that will add sometimes to the complication of being able to understand what your own boundaries are. So maybe, for example, how you show up on a Tuesday evening might be very different than what you're available for on a Saturday morning. person to person, who and how you engage with, maybe someone in your family versus someone who you're just getting to know. And also situation to situation, circumstance to circumstance, what's going on. All of those things influence your boundaries, what feels good and what doesn't, what you want to engage in, with whom and what you don't. So yeah, so not only the categories, but all these pieces and parts. I believe that boundaries are definitely the number one tool you can ever be equipped with, especially in this walk of authenticity. And yet there is so much to know. And honestly, it's probably going to require some of your practice, some steadfastness, and probably a dose of courage too. So people have questioned, like, okay, great info. What's my starting point? And I want to offer this to you as your number one starting point. Like, how do you know that even a boundary might need to take place? How do you know? And so your cue, your biggest indicator, is right inside of you. It's going to be your feelings. How does something land with you? You see, your emotions are actually a guide and one of your most valuable tools or resources. It's a piece of information that needs your attention. Imagine kind of going through life like a head without a heart or a heart without a head. They're meant to work in conjunction with each other. The two really need each other. And so it is with emotions and boundaries. Learning to tap into how something actually feels and the way that different pieces influence how you show up and how you react to things. Are you someone who's just walking around exhausted? You feel depleted by something. When you see something pop up on your calendar, you just kind of just roll your eyes and automatically you're kind of irritated. Are you hanging out with people and going to places that you always have because you feel like it's something that you should be doing? You feel guilty to not do it, or you feel obligated. Are you doing the things that you've always done because you feel like you have to? Those are cues. Those are indicators. That energy level is an indication that something needs your attention. Imagine ignoring your physical cues, that if you've got a severe pain all of a sudden, or you put your hand on a hot burner and you just ignored that, you tried to suppress it, override the physical pain, or even worse, think, oh, I'm such a terrible person because I can't endure this. No, we recognize how much of a worsening conditions that would allow. The same is true with your emotional cues. They are trying to tell you something. And just like your physical cues should not be ignored, nor should your emotional cues. That's what leads people to that dreaded place of fed upness. So if you're learning to play, experience, and be curious about what your emotions are, that's going to be your starting point for learning how to set a boundary. You do have a choice. Believe it or not, it might be a hard choice, but you do have a choice of whether or not you're going to learn to respond and to respect those emotional cues and use them as valuable pieces of information, indicating the need for a boundary. Remember, they are meant to work in conjunction, emotions and boundaries and those indicators that you are either headed in the right direction or you need to back up and maybe do something differently. And because you're walking this walk of authenticity, boundaries are a totally necessary companion. Knowing what's yours and what isn't yours to get involved with or to take on, knowing how or when to step away from someone or something that's really not in your best interest. And then the opposite's true too, how to say yes to things and really seize opportunities that are right for you. It's important to understand your preferences, to know what you like, know what you don't like, to understand your specific needs, and ultimately take full responsibility. That's kind of the essence of being this healthy, authentic adult, because it puts you in the driver's seat of your own life. Boundaries are your critical life skill that can shape the course of your life, your happiness, and definitely your well-being in both your personal and your professional life. Don't leave your boundaries at home when you're headed out to work. You need them even more probably in that capacity. And definitely the health of your relationships, no matter what level, intimate, just even acquaintance. And yet what I find, and maybe this is relevant to you too, so few people are doing it, right? And many of us are not doing it in a very healthy way. And just because the word boundaries is pretty commonplace, It doesn't mean that everyone knows how to do it. You can see all of the complicated factors, the details, and the struggle that can go into setting a boundary, clarifying all of those nuances and pieces and parts, asserting them, speaking up for yourself, and then following through with them. You see, you start to kind of go, whoa, this is some work, right? So I want to revisit. Last time I found myself kind of rushing through this category, and it's come up several times, just even the past couple of weeks, I've noticed in my sessions, this category is coming up more and more and more. And it's what I did refer to in Misunderstood. It's like your tech or spatial boundaries. When I've come to really tweak that word, I really see this as a connection boundary. What is it that helps you feel most connected and most supported in your relationships? Any relationship, your partnership, your friends, your family, acquaintances, neighbors, it doesn't matter. What helps you feel most connected and supported? The reason I think this one is so fascinating and it's coming up more and more is because it's really a brand new category, I think. You see, we have a world of tech these days. We have this expectation more and more of this instant gratification. We've got social media, which is such a public platform. There's these new methods and ways to what I'm going to very loosely say to connect, to share information, and to communicate. We didn't face all of this many years ago. It's one of the newer types of boundaries that are starting to surface because of all of this advancement in technology and social media. People are having to experience, think through, and communicate maybe for the first few times in order to think about what is it that works for them in all of these new platforms. And so years ago, we didn't have these. We weren't quite as obsessed with all these different modalities of connection and communication, so much public attention. We naturally had to wait for feedback and interaction with people. And so there's just a different dynamic that's surfacing with all these boundaries. Texting alone can create so many issues. Are you the person who sends a page-long text and really identifies that as communication? Are you someone who thumbs up or you do an okay? What about the time of day that you text or how much, or do you regulate your notifications and or do you expect other people to kind of just know when to text and when not? What's the frequency or substance of your texts, right? That in and of itself is a category. How about emails or phone calls? I have some friends who would rather poke their eyeballs out than sit on the phone with someone. And yet other people who just get in this dreaded text exchange. What about leaving a voicemail or not leaving a voicemail? What if someone calls and doesn't leave a message? Do you call them back? Do you not call them back? It's so weird to be thinking about and talking about these categories, and yet they're very much a real dynamic in our world. Have you thought through and really become clear about what you want in this level of connection boundaries, social media with your likes, your loves, who you follow, who you snap and chat with? Like, it's so significant for you to spend some time to think about, are you a quality time person or are you kind of quantity? Do you like group settings or one-on-ones? As silly as this may seem, the reason this is such an important dynamic to consider is because these boundaries are deeply connected to a sense of mattering, connection, and belonging, which are core human needs. So please don't dismiss, like we're talking about social media for real, like those are boundaries. Yes, they are, because they're a deeper reflection of how we most feel supported and loved. And no one can know from the outside in what's okay with you and what's not. It's just one more example of why boundaries can be so complicated at times. Some food for thought. So you're listening to The Allie Effect with me, Allison Blythe. And when we come back, we're going to talk even more about these categories of boundaries and helping you understand even more of these pieces and parts. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your line shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corinne Beerfield. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. To learn more about Corrine and her services as a holistic, heart-centered counselor, visit corrinebierfeld.com.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki master and author Brett Bevel. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit brettbevel.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
So we're back here on the Ally Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker, talking about this idea of authenticity and how you can bring a phenomenal companion called boundaries with you. Before we go too much further, I want to make sure you know how to be in touch with me. Lots of different ways to do that. I still have a good old landline, which is 859-341-7773. You can always leave me a message there. If you want to check out my website and all the info I have on that, it is allisonblythe.com. And email, I check that all the time. It's allisonblythe@live.com. And any social media platform, you can find me at Allison Blythe Life Coach. So here we go. Let's go even further with some of this concept of boundaries. We're going to do some fine tuning with this big wide open picture of boundaries, knowing that understanding, communicating, and following through with your boundaries are all really imperative pieces of this big puzzle for you to be able to maintain. To me, it seems impossible to show up in the world in any type of authentic way without having some solid sense of who you are, how you want to interact in the world, who you want along with you along the way, and the things you want to be doing or not doing in your life. I also know that navigating the course of boundaries can feel like a lot, especially if you're brand new to this journey. There's a lot of social, cultural, familial, and definitely spiritual training and reinforcement about what a good person should do or shouldn't do. There's a lot of expectation about how you should be showing up in the world. A lot of these are learned responses, and it can be a lot to rewrite them, and it may take some serious practice, commitment, and even effort to reestablish yourself in all of these well-rehearsed patterns and relationships. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. And if you're feeling pretty uncertain and overwhelmed, maybe even a little bit tentative, like this is a lot to chew on, I hear you. Let me step in and offer you a little bit of support and assure you that good or bad, you are not alone in this. There were a lot of comments and some questions and some feedback too about some of the people's experiences after listening to the past two episodes. I'm going to share three that came in. I feel like I've messed up all of these categories. It makes sense to me now, but I've never recognized how specific things influence me and my relationships, right? Not even knowing or being conscious of all of the categories and how they really do play off the health of your relationships. Yeah, I can understand that. This one made me laugh. I was like, what? I never knew there was so much to know about boundaries. No wonder I've struggled so much in relationships. It can kind of feel a little bit oddly validating to kind of go like, oh, okay, so that's been the problem all of these years, right? It's boundary stuff. And then finally, this is revolutionary to me. Being in the world has always been pretty challenging for me. I can kind of relate to that. I find dealing with people a lot, to be a lot. For the first time, I have a guide and some direction about how to navigate all of this. And so I was feeling pretty hopeful after all of that, kind of this realization that though it is a lot, I assure you that these are tools to be able to support you in knowing how to do this thing called peopling with so many different interactions in the world. Since there is so much to know and so many nuances with all of these parts, let's keep going to show you how you can actually strengthen your understanding of and hopefully your ability to be really clear in setting pretty effective boundaries. Sometimes people start getting all gung-ho. You learn a piece of information and you're kind of like, yeah, I'm ready to do this boundary thing. Maybe you recognize yourself in some of these patterns. You're starting to feel a little hopeful, like the last person, and you recognize, yeah, I have definitely been fed up in my life. I'm ready to do something differently. But it reminds me, this trek of the journey starts to feel a little bit like a New Year's resolution. After a while, the vigor starts to wear off, right? You start to wonder, what the heck was I thinking when I started this journey process or this boundary process? Like, what in the world? You made a personal commitment and now it's starting to wane a little bit. And as much as back to that New Year's resolution of maybe going to the gym or losing weight, as much as you want to lose weight and as great as those, you know, awesome new workout clothes may seem and as expensive as that membership was, it's really hard to stick to the process. It can be kind of painful. It takes a lot of time. You got to get out of bed. You got to go. You got to go like do the workout. You got to go do the thing. Maybe you're even realizing you have to change your habits, your friends, and the things that you used to do because you're so minded about trying to stay healthy and really maintain a certain lifestyle. And then you start to think, what in the world was I thinking? This is way too much of a hassle. It's easier to stay in bed. It's cold outside these days. The gym is really crowded. It's such a hassle. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle can be a real hassle. And so then you're like, you start to justify, I'll try again tomorrow. And so it begins. Or actually, maybe I should say, and so it remains, right? Because that's where staying in the familiar is very easy. As painful as the familiar is, it's actually very easy to stay there because it's familiar and we know what to expect, even as painful as it may be. A commitment to setting boundaries can be very much like that. It takes time, effort, and consistency as much as maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And yeah, it can absolutely be a hassle. It takes sometimes a very long time to see any type of reward or payoff. It certainly may result in some type of pain, conflict, and even seemingly worsening conditions. Have you ever left the gym going, oh my gosh, you can't even move the next day? Sometimes setting boundaries, you know, it can be painful. Conflict can sometimes escalate and you might be questioning, why in the world did I even agree to this? Is it really worth it? I assure you, just like maintaining and committing to a healthy lifestyle, I absolutely assure you that it is worth it. And I also want to acknowledge that there may be times when you become weary, when you start to wonder, like, am I really doing the right thing? You, your health, your well-being, the satisfaction of your life are absolutely worth it. And I will also say that it is quite a process. It's important for you to make up your mind. I have written on a sticky note. I have it sitting on my desk and it says, stay the course. My challenge to you is when you make up your mind to start setting these boundaries, I will encourage you, stay the course. You may need to anchor in. We'll talk about anchoring in some other episodes and trying to remember your why. Like, why are you committing to this process and all of those reasons why you really have made up your mind that you want to eliminate those patterns and that fed upness state you've been functioning. When it comes to hard situations, difficult conversations, having conflict with people, really dealing with challenging, difficult people sometimes, I wonder, what's your approach? Are you someone who just like avoids, you just completely deflect and you change the subject or you distract? Do you deny or there's no problem here? I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. Do you deny or ignore problems as they come up? Are you someone who just goes along to get along? You find yourself falling into those pleasing and performing modes. Do you suppress the way you feel because you just don't know what to say or how to say it? And so you just keep enduring it. What does it feel like for you to make a hard call or to have those hard conversations with people? What resource or what part of you do you use to navigate through those challenging situations? That's where boundaries come in. Boundaries are an attempt to kind of be fenced. I know that's not really a word, but it's an ability to align yourself with what's in your best interest. Boundaries will allow you to go inward, to recognize what's okay, what works for you and what doesn't. And once you've been working to quiet those messages, those guilt messages, what you should, shouldn't be doing, and all of those other voices in your head, you will honestly have some sense of what to do once you work to quiet those voices and you step inside a little bit. Yes, it may be uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, you know what? Let's not even say that. It will be uncomfortable. It's like writing with the opposite hand. It's messy. It's awkward. You may question what's the point. So yeah, it will be uncomfortable when you start setting boundaries with people. These patterns are probably very well ingrained inside of you, and you've danced this dance with people for a very long time. And I want to introduce to you what I would call the change back reaction. And what I mean by this is when you first have the idea, maybe you start talking about setting boundaries and getting healthy and, you know, maintaining this really healthy sense of self. People are all for it, right? They're going to be your biggest cheerleaders and they're going to support you and they're going to tell you to go do it. And then all of a sudden you start to make some changes with them. Maybe you tell them no a few times, or you stop paying for things you used to pay for. Maybe you turn in your resignation and step down from that committee that you've been a part of. And suddenly people are like, what is wrong with you? Like, how could you do that? Why are you being so mean? I hear this one a lot when people start setting boundaries. Why are you being so mean? What's come over you? And as much as people initially supported you and really got behind you creating this lifestyle, it might be a very different story when you start to make changes with them. You are changing the dance that you're dancing with people. It's normal to step on toes, for it to feel awkward, for conflict to start to arise. Let me assure you that other people's reactions to your boundaries should not be a measure of your success or failure. They will probably feel awkward or uncomfortable. They may be really mad at you or disappointed by things. Please be cautious of letting that be the measurement. A lot of times people will say to me, well, boundaries don't work. Well, that's really not the truth. Boundaries sometimes changes the dance that often allows us to erupt certain dynamics in relationships. That's probably going to feel really uncomfortable and really uncertain. I will even venture out to say, the more disrupted a relationship is with someone by setting healthy boundaries, the more evidence that that's probably those boundaries needed to be set, right? So changing the dance, give yourself permission to know that it's going to be awkward. If people have that change back reaction, know that that's normal. It's all part of the process of learning to set some boundaries. So I am Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to The Allie Effect. When we come back, we're going to cover even more pieces about boundaries and helping you continue to strengthen along your way.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness, be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com.
So we're back here on The Allie Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Today, we're covering yet a third session on boundaries and helping you understand and be able to fine tune. We're going to hone in on some of these boundary dynamics to be sure you are as educated, equipped, and empowered as you possibly can be as you walk this walk of authenticity. So I wonder now, how are you holding up all of this information that we've covered, all of the details that go into setting boundaries, clarifying them, understanding the pieces and parts and why your insides might shift about how you feel, and then your ability to withstand other people's feedback and input about the boundaries you're trying to establish? There is a key piece that is really important in setting boundaries. And it has to do with your ability to follow through with how you're going to respond if a boundary is threatened. Now, a lot of times people will try to set boundaries like you can't and think that they set a boundary. The truth is that boundaries are really about what you are going to do differently. It has very little to do with the other person. It's not quite enough to say something about a boundary, like you can't or you have to, I'm not going to put up with that. Boundaries really are about your willingness to follow through. Are there people, places, and things that you need to make some hard decisions about? Maybe you need to step away. Maybe you need to be a bit more firm, more direct about something. Maybe there's areas where you need to let go and detach or completely walk away if necessary. It's important to consider where you are along that continuum, what's in your best interest. And yet very few people stop to think about, they just continue along these patterns, this autopilot that we've talked about before. People just keep doing the same thing over and over, wanting other people to actually change. We're going to talk about healthy, direct ways to begin to set boundaries with people. In Misunderstood, I wrote about some patterns. I wrote about a wild swing, I refer to it as. Like, on one level, there's this thing that I call weapon words. And we'll talk a little bit more about weapon words. And then people who tend to swing all the way over here to what I refer to as watered down words, like watering, and sometimes like even referring to them as like wimpy words. It's this pendulum I watch people ride when they're first learning to set boundaries. Rarely have I ever found someone, maybe you'll be the first, I certainly wasn't the first. Rarely do people land that golden sweet spot. I refer to it as Goldilocks, like that Goldilocks moment where people are just able to deliver this beautiful, perfect boundary. People get fumbly. It's like a child learning to walk. It's so awkward in the beginning. And sometimes people swing really harsh and reactive. Maybe you have been fed up and you have this strong reaction to someone or something. And then the other side that I see often is that people are kind of on the really watering down, a pretty diluted message. And so maybe this is something that you can relate to. Let's talk about each side of this swing so that you can recognize if you find yourself riding this wild ride of this pendulum. Let's see if I can help you land a little bit more of a sweet spot. Watering words tend to be ways like Maybe you're feeling a little bit scared, you're tentative, you're newer to boundaries. You don't want people to be mad. You don't want to look like, you know, a terrible person. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. And so by the time you actually muster the strength to say something, it comes out really wobbly. Some examples of watering down would include, you know, just the idea of not wanting to make anybody mad. You don't want to look bad or seem selfish. This is a theme I hear so much in boundaries, is that people will be like, I'm afraid to be selfish. And I absolutely want to make a line here and say that there is a huge difference between self-care and being boundaried versus being selfish. These are the ways that you are diluting your message and kind of watering or softening them down. So an example of this would be several examples. Hey, listen, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, I want to leave around 5. Okay. Can you see the wobble or the wimpy in that? Like it's not very firm or direct. Another example might be, listen, I don't want to bother you, but I would rather stay in tonight. Okay, there's like this passivity hinting or suggesting towards what you want. Here's another one. I'm not going to the party. I hope you're not mad, right? Like, oh, you're almost there. So it's ways that people approach boundaries, but then they do this thing that makes them watered down. Okay, we'll say it that way. And so but remember, this isn't pass fail. I would rather you try to say something and get your message through, and we can work to help you kind of solidify and strengthen a little bit. But you can see how diluted these are. In cases like this, I would literally just cut off half the sentence. I would just speak a fraction of each one of those sentences. So to go back to the first example, I want to leave at 5. Right. That's it. I want to leave at 5. The second one is, I would rather stay in tonight. And the third, I'm not going to the party. Right? We often feel like we have to add so many words, justifications, right? There's a difference between an explanation, which is like this much information, versus this justification where we're trying to talk people out of being mad or thinking we're awful. Like, you can offer an explanation to something. I'm not going to the party. I actually need to stay in and rest. Okay, that's just an explanation. But do you see that there's no wobble in those? Each one of those statements are incredibly solid. They're not watered down, and there's not a lot of wiggle room or passivity in any of them. And on the other hand, they're not rude. They're not aggressive, demeaning, or disrespectful in any way. They're just direct. They're very clear, and they're very concise. This may be different for you, but it's important for you to understand that there's no need to buffer your needs, your preferences, what you like. It's really okay to just assert them. In the beginning, I will encourage you. This is a little guideline. You can take this or leave this. You can use this to whatever extent. In the very beginning, I would encourage you that less is more. Say less. I think people start to get wobbly when they start to add too many words. I think that's when the watering down starts to happen. So I want you to think clear, concise. If you have a tendency to get wobbly and do this swing, then be mindful. Less is going to be more. Now, let's talk about the other side, these weapon words. And I have to be honest, this was a little bit more my MO when I was first starting to set some boundaries. Maybe you've recognized, like, you know what, you have just had it and you are fed up. And before you know it, you start to speak and things start flying out of your mouth and it is just ugly, right? You begin to unleash and unravel all of that emotion that starts to come in. I have definitely had some moments like that. Basically, you wait too long. And by the time it comes out, it's just slayed with these weapon words. And what I would say is that if you are engaging in the weapon words, chances are you've probably waited too long to speak up. Something happened or didn't happen. Someone said something or didn't say something. And man, that stuff is just festered inside of you. So by the time you actually speak up, you are just reacting. And it is so incredibly foul by the time it comes out. And these types of words or phrases tend to be very heated. They tend to be very reactionary and often pretty extreme. They tend to be based a lot on just raw emotion and probably even some history that you have with this issue or with this person. And sadly, they do so much more damage than they do good. So some examples of weaponing would be threats or accusations that you make. Maybe ultimatums. Those can be, it's if you're boundaried and you really mean it, and this is, then that's a boundary. But ultimatums sometimes are like the way that we try to force someone into another behavior. Maybe name calling or cussing. Cussing, you can take it or leave it, but the way that you're using it. And then extremes. If you're in language of like always and never, chances are you're probably weaponing. And then sarcasm. And if you've listened to the top 10 things of what not to do in communication, if you're a weapon person, or you know what, that might be a really good starting place for you too, to understand what are the ways that you might be kind of ineffectively communicating. But sarcasm is one of those top 10, a real wild way for you to kind of poke at someone in a more passive aggressive way. Maybe you have a tendency to go too far and you've waited too long. Be really mindful of your weaponing words. We talked about your feelings being cues and indicators, just like your physical cues. Like these are some examples of that, that if you've waited too long and you haven't been honoring and paying attention to what your feelings are and what they've been trying to tell you, that's where self-responsibility comes in. You've got to own it, right? Like, yes, this person might've been doing these things, but in some ways you've probably allowed that to happen. If you are swinging wildly on this pendulum, something deeper needs your attention, maybe before you ever begin to speak up. Though the swing is really normal, also know that it might not be the best time or way to actually set a boundary in that. You might need to kind of settle your swing, practice what you want to say, get to the heart of some of your emotion before you actually have that conversation with people. It really is important, this tool of self-responsibility, which we'll talk even more about, but self-responsibility, beginning to own. If you've allowed too much, if you do have a tendency to get a little watery or a little wimpy in your words and you haven't really cleaned up or cleared up your message, this is where you can start to take some responsibility. Tighten yourself up a little bit and work on getting a little bit more. It's like having, you know, all that flab. You know, sometimes we just got to tighten up a little bit with the words that we speak and the message we're trying to deliver. If you've had some tendency to overswing and you really have been weaponing, probably need to be accountable for that and work on cleaning that up too. And then it's time to get right back on the horse and start all over again. This is not about perfection. This is about just continuing. Keep swinging the bat, keep swinging the bat, and you'll get it. You will land a sweet spot. Just might take a little bit of time. Healthy boundaries are completely a lifestyle. They require your time, your efforts, your consistency, your attention, as you cue in to what's working for you and what doesn't. And if you need to write a little sticky note to remind you to stay the course, I would encourage you to do that. Stay the course, my friends. It's absolutely worth it. So there we are. Yeah, another break. We're going to come back and just wrap up the series. We'll be done with this after this next segment. But in the meantime, just know that you can reach me at any point, 859-341-7773. Lots of good info on my website, allisonblythe.com. And if you ever want to check out my social media, it is Allison Blythe Life Coach. Stay tuned. We'll wrap this up.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose.
Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
We're back here on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe. And we are covering this topic. We are covering it back and forth and up and down in this topic of boundaries. And during the past two episodes, we've talked about all of the categories. Do yourself a favor and go back and learn each one of those so that you can have an understanding of what it is that we're talking about and why there are so many different pieces and parts of all of this. We're taking this apart a little bit more to help you tighten up and strengthen the way that you navigate through setting your boundaries. I want to squeeze out just a little bit more while we've got the chance. Remember that we talked about that change back reaction. We talked about changing the dance and how awkward it can be sometimes. In this process, people might begin to feel really confused by the changes that you're making. You might start to feel really confused about whether or not to engage with anyone at all. Somebody said to me, like, I just don't think I can ever interact again. I'm like, oh, well, that's definitely not the goal. If that's something that you're kind of feeling too, like, oh my gosh, you know, no wonder we're all colliding into each other. And if you start to feel kind of overwhelmed or uncertain about how to engage, I've got a little bit of information that can probably help. You know that you really have some messed up boundaries. Me too, right? That's totally understandable. And yet, of course, you still want to be able to interact with people and have somewhat of a normal sense of life. But if you've started to question how to get involved or who to get involved with, if you need some boundary recovery, I've got some guidelines and a little bit of suggestion and some parameters maybe that can be helpful to give you some clarity about this. Maybe you're very much like me and you've got this tender heart. You have a hard time saying no. You don't want to be hurtful to people. It's really hard for you to detach from others or to let them go and walk their own walk. It can be challenging to detach and set boundaries with people. Sometimes we're terrified of what might happen if we don't continue along this path of helping other people. I have some points for you to consider that may offer you a little bit of clarity about who to get involved with, when to get involved, and how. There's a very critical question that I want you to consider. And it might sound very simple, but this is your beginning point in all of this work. Do you have any idea when the best time to actually help someone is? Any concept of like, now's the moment? My friends, it is right after someone asks you. How often are you jumping into other people's problems? You are problem solving or making suggestions. You're giving input or already starting like problem solving for them. Think about that. The very best time to get involved with someone is right after they ask for your help or your input. I know that might sound crazy. Maybe it's a dynamic that you've never even considered, but I assure you that most people not only can, but actually need to be able to stand on their own two feet, to have the dignity to fall, to make mistakes, and to figure out their own way on their own path. This is about authentically living life your way. That stands for everyone. If you find yourself walking that fine line helping people versus enabling or rescuing them, you may have a tendency of overstepping, taking over, offering input and suggestions way before you've ever been asked to. Chances are, if that's the case, you are not only enabling someone, chances are you're probably interfering. Best time to help someone is right after they ask. If you have struggled with boundaries, this is your number one dynamic to consider. So that's one. Now let's go even further. If the answer is yes, yeah, they're asking. They just made the call last night. Okay. The second parameter is, do you want to? How does that something feel to you? Do you want to do this? And then another point to consider, remember, we've talked about your other categories of boundaries. Remember, we talked about your commodities. Do you have the time, energy, and effort to spend on this thing or these people? Are you spending wisely with those commodities? And if you haven't listened to that episode, I would encourage you to, because it's going to help you navigate your boundaries more clearly. Time, energy, and effort, your most precious ways of interacting with people. Do you have it to give? If you over-engage with someone, what is that going to cost you in terms of your time, energy, and effort? Have you ever stopped to consider those types of things? Most people ask and they just feel this angst, like they have to, they're expected, like they, I have no choice. You do have a choice. It might be an uncomfortable choice. It might be a hard choice. People might be really mad at you, but you absolutely have a starting point. Those are some of the parameters that I would encourage you to consider. In Misunderstood, I write about all kinds of other things to consider, all different kinds of points. And if you're interested, page 223, as a matter of fact, for you to be able to have that actual list. How do I know when to get involved or how to get involved? So we're going to squeeze out one more little piece of information before we wrap up this whole series. I wonder, do you know about this dynamic that I also write about? It's a diagnosis. I talked about fed upness, kind of a silly dynamic that's very real for a lot of people. But here's another one. Do you have a tendency to walk around TTH? This is another essential piece for you to consider in your decision making. Are you someone who simply tries too hard? Do you get overly involved with the people that you care about? Do you tend to work harder in relationships than they do? Are you the one who's always maintaining contact, orchestrating the play dates, the get-togethers, the holidays, the reunions? Are you reaching out and maintaining contact with people? Are you the one who is continuously providing the effort and the consistency for other people without much return from them? It's an important point to consider. If you have it to give and it really doesn't bother you, then, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's totally okay. If it's a season in the relationship and you're the one initiating, that's absolutely fine. What I'm talking about is how things land. Are you constantly chasing after people and TTH, trying too hard? If you're noticing those emotional cues, irritation, overwhelm, disappointment, chances are tune into that. It's probably trying to tell you that there needs to be a boundary established. It might be time for you to do something different. Under that same category of TTH, here's something else I want you to consider. Do you have a tendency to work harder on other people's problems than they do? When it comes to energy and effort, are you the person who's maybe making the doctor's appointments for people? Are you driving back and forth to extend yourself? Are you the person who's maybe hiring the lawyer or making all the phone calls to help someone solve their problems? Are you the one who's up all night and losing sleep because you're worried about what's going to happen to someone else and owning some of their consequence? If you're working hard in relationships or you're working harder on someone else's problems, it's time to take a serious lean back. I talk a lot about lean back energy to see if people come forth, if they step up or step into the relationship or to their own life. This is absolutely your chance to wake up and to do things differently. So I think we need to end, right? Like this is, I just feel like there's so much. I won't come back with yet a fourth dynamic about boundaries, but I feel like we could. It's kind of an endless topic. There is so much. We have covered so much material. And this is absolutely one of my favorite series because I think it helps support you in this journey of authenticity, knowing like how to do it. And maybe you will find the wobble, maybe you'll find the weaponing, and maybe you will have a lot of conflict with people as you do this change back. I just assure you that it is well worth it. And I absolutely encourage you to stay the course in all of this. If you want to get your hands on Misunderstood, you can go to my website, alisonblythe.com, and pick pick up your copy there so that you can actually have the material available to you. There's all kinds of pieces and deeper information in that. It's a pretty powerful guide. So stay the course, my friends. I definitely assure you it is worth it. If you want to contact me, please do so. Send me an email. That's the easiest way. AllisonBlythe@live.com. If you just need a consistent boost, follow me on social media, which is Allison Blythe Life Coach. I want to thank you sticking with me, staying the course with this process. I want to thank you for joining me on the Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, as we continue to walk this path of authenticity. Feel free, join me the first and third Thursday of every month on Transformation Talk Radio as we continue to support one another and have some real talk, tools, tips, and resources to educate, equip, and empower you in this path of authenticity. Have a great week, my friends. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for tuning in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.